Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Rock and Roar Podcast.
What's up, everybody? This is Brian Roar, the host with the most, the Rock and Roar Podcast. Thank you for listening again. This is episode 7. Today is Tuesday, October 5th, 2021. Folks, Facebook is not dead. I know we got freaked out for a little bit there yesterday with Facebook and Instagram and WhatsApp going down, but from the stories that they were talking about on the news this morning, I've heard everything from there was a router that got unplugged to there was a whistleblower Monday that came out and was saying stuff about Mark Zuckerberg, Facebook, and behind the scenes stuff. And then poof, it went down for, gosh, what, 5 hours? And you've got, you know, apology letters coming from the engineers, the CEOs, and every one of these companies. And it's like, good Lord, you know, it was kind of nice to have that little break from social media, you know, even if though Twitter and TikTok and all that was still on. But it was nice just to have that little bit of, wow, this is what it was like back in the day. You know, it's just kind of one of them things we take for granted. You know, I know we get worried when the lights flicker and the power, you know, the internet goes out and we're like, shit, what are we going to do now? You know, but what did we do before? You know, we played board games, fucking hopscotched, and, you know, you wrote music, whatever, you know, hanging out with family or whatever. But, you know, we did all that before there was technology. So I don't know why sometimes these kids are like, man, I'm so bored, I don't know what to do. Fucking go make some mud pies. Go, you know, we used to take baseball cards and put them on the inside, like we would tape them on our bike spoke rims, so that way every time you were pedaling and stuff, it sounded like a dirt bike. I don't know, see, it was shit like that. It was fun, it kept us out of trouble, and we just had some good memories for it. But, you know, God forbid if there was something that really did happen and, you know, technology did somehow go away. I doubt it will. You know, we got Kanye West developing stuff now, but But no, if we did lose communication, that's the only scary thing. So, you know, everyone get your walkie-talkies, get everything like that, you know, just in case. I'm not saying anything. I don't know what's going to happen, you know, but just be prepared. That's all to really think of. And, you know, we're all back to normal. Facebook is back up. Instagram's back up. WhatsApp, which I don't ever really use. Have any of you ever used WhatsApp, or do you like using it if you use it? We just stick to the defaults that come on the phones, and I know you can customize, like, with widgets and all that, which is pretty cool, and, you know, that's the beauty of your own personal cell phone. You can make it the way you want it to make it, and, you know, fuck everyone else. That's pretty cool. But, yeah, Facebook's back, so life is good, folks, and, you know, just another day on Earth, so we gotta be grateful. But, on this day, I always like to do this, like, little throwback to something big that happened on this day. It can be music-related, it can be, you know, media-related, it can be just nonsense-related, and, you know, but I thought this was kind of crazy. In 1989, Motley Crue played a warm-up for their forthcoming Dr. Feelgood tour at the Whiskey A Go-Go in California, but they did it under the fake band name, The Foreskins. Now, I've heard of a couple other bands that did something along the lines of this, changed their name to, you know, like Garth Brooks, he changed it to Chris Gaines, and, you know, he did that whole Dark Side stuff, which didn't really pan out, but who was the one? There's a professional baseball player. His real name's Madison Bumgarner, but he has an alter ego, and it's like Mason Saunders, and he does rodeos. Like, he's a PBR, not Pabst Blue Ribbon. He's a professional bull rider association guy, and so he is a hell of a southpaw thrower, and he fucking tackles bulls, so he's a brave motherfucker. But I know there's a couple other, I just can't think of them off the top of my head, but I thought that was pretty cool, you know, just disguising as, you know, just coming up as a fake band name. And I know back in the day when I was in Dying for Tomorrow, my buddy and the lead singer of the band, James Hayes, we was talking and was like, you know what would be awesome? And I was like, what's that, man? And he said, you know, if we had like two sets back to back. I was like, what do you mean? Like a 2-hour set? He's like, no, we would play like Dying for Tomorrow's set. And then we would like turn our backs real quick and then come back and play another set with a different band name, different style and everything. And I was like, oh man, that's a pretty cool idea, you know? So you can be creative with it. And, you know, sometimes you just want to fly under the radar. Nothing wrong with that, especially when you're a big name like Motley Crue. And I mean, back in the day, I mean, they probably didn't have as big security as they do now. So it was kind of the artists for themselves. And, but I mean, when you're playing that at that stature and you're at the Whiskey A Go-Go, world-renowned Whiskey A Go-Go on Sunset Boulevard, and you know, you just kind of take the punches when you can. So I thought that was pretty cool, you know, just kind of practicing under a different name, still playing the same songs they did, but just didn't want anyone to find out. So hey, more power to them, and turned out great. You know, one of the craziest group of fuckers you'll ever see. You know, you guys ever seen The Dirt on Netflix, the Motley Crue movie? It's freaking nuts. And I know Machine Gun Kelly, he's getting a lot of shit right now. A lot of people aren't into his new stuff, which, I mean, I think he sounds all right. I mean, he don't have the greatest voice, but the music's not that bad. I mean, you go from rap to, well, he has the new stuff now with Travis Barker, and it sounds decent. I mean, it's catchy. You know, he's still dating Megan Fox, so I think he's doing all right. I guess he's from Cleveland, so that's pretty cool. Represent Ohio. You know, whether that be good or not, you know, just depends on how you do it. Look at Bone Thugs, they're representing us good. You know, Rascal Flatts, they represented Ohio good from Columbus. And who was that? Saving Jane, they was from Columbus. What's the one? Not 21 Pilots. I think they might be from Columbus. No, what was the Chainsmokers. The Chainsmokers from Columbus. Who else is from Cleveland? What's that rapper? Son of a bitch, I can't think of his name. It'll come to me. But anyway, a lot of good bands came from Ohio, a lot of other states too, so everyone give a handout for everyone that's paved the way and everything. So Motley Crue, they definitely did it. So I know there was a story on Access TV, you guys ever watch that or have it on your cable package or app or anything, but AXS TV, they actually had a story about ZZ Top, and was talking about Billy Gibbons, and he would go and he would play at random churches and, you know, all these foreign lands, and, you know, because he's a big humanitarian too, so he has a real spiritual aura to himself, and, you know, the hats he wears, and he only uses Sacagawea quarters for his pick. He doesn't use a regular pick. He doesn't finger pick. But he uses a squash Sacagawea quarter. So I thought that was pretty cool. It gives a different tone. It does, you know, because when you got metal going against, you know, nylon or not nylon, but Jesus, metal going against like aluminum or, you know, strings or anything like that, it sets it off from what you're playing a plastic or even felt if you're playing bass. So, excuse me, I've been waiting for that one, folks, sorry. Yeah, the old foreskins. I wonder if anyone has any video footage of that. It'd be kind of cool to see. Just to see, you know, how they, what they looked like, and, you know, if they still played the same set and everything, and I'm sure they did, but I thought that was pretty cool. But if you guys want to hit me up on socials or anytime, I got the big three. So we got Twitter, I am at BROHR3. Over on TikTok, I am at Brian Rohr, ROHR1986. And over on the Insta, I am at BROHR. So hit me up anytime on there. Again, thanks again for everyone for listening. Please, if you can, rate and review the show and give me any feedback that you can. I appreciate it. Negative, positive, I don't care. We're doing this together, so I know you guys are probably tired of hearing that. We're all in this together, you know, but You know, I think of you guys as family that listen to me every day and know me personally. And, you know, I'm just taking a big step. So I'm still in the learning stages, but I appreciate you guys for being patient with me and listening and giving me the feedback. I love you guys. So on today's show, we're talking about famous artists who had successful careers in motion picture soundtrack. So couple of the big three I wrote down, you know, you have Bryan Adams, Kenny Loggins, Huey Lewis. Bryan Adams, really, he had more of a successful career writing soundtrack, like songs for soundtracks. I mean, his solo career had a really good, successful career. He's one of Canada's top performing artists, top grossing artists, and he's just a real good person. He does photography now, and he's really good behind the lens. You can get a chance and look at his work, and he's really good. He does a lot of like black and white portraits, a lot of landscapes, and he's just really good. But, you know, he even said in an interview with Dan Rather on Access Channel, he was talking about how he got into writing movies. And it was just one of those things, you know, he wrote one. I think it was, have you ever really loved a woman? I think it was that one. Or it might have been Heaven. But one of those two, it was the first one that he had wrote. And he just kind of went on a whim and wrote it, not thinking anything about the movie. And as, you know, the years went on, the music in movies became more, oh man, who's that? Who you got performing on that? Who did that song? And, you know, big word of mouth. That's the number one way to get your name out there is word of mouth. So even back then it worked. And he just kept getting offers for movies and just kept writing hits after hits. I mean, All for Love. I mean, come on, from the, oh my goodness. With Rod Stewart and Sting, you're talking about three powerhouse voices right there. And, you know, three not so big egos. I mean, I bet they would be really cool to hang out with. You know Rod Stewart, what he still looks the same that he does. He still looks the same now that he did back in the 70s, 60s. You know, he's got the crazy hair. He still sounds the same, still funny as hell, awesome. You know, Sting, he's been through a lot of different things lately, you know, with the producing, then getting the Police, you know, back together, and they didn't play, I don't think they played any shows, but they were spotted, you know, together, at least, not performing out live, but you know how the media is, oh my gosh, they're together, so they're recording an album, and no, hell no, and even Bryan Adams, he's still, you know, great, he's just a good man, just nothing bad to say about him. Same way with Kenny Loggins. I mean, you talk about a guy who had a hell of a successful career. I mean, Footloose, that's all you got to say. That's all he needs. According to Spotify, that song has over 250 million listens. And that's just for Kenny Loggins. That's not across the whole catalog of Spotify. That's just Kenny Loggins himself. 250 million people have listened to Footloose. It's a good song. Great movie. You know, first of Kevin Bacon's movies, it really brought a lot of attention to, you know, the music and everything. Because, I mean, Kenny, he had three songs on that album. He had, he had Footloose, he had I'm Free, sorry about that. But still, even I'm Free, that was a not so big song, but it was a big song. Now that kind of sounds weird, but it wasn't projected to do real well, but it did. You know, it's just a good song. You know, it's just good. And nothing bad to say about it. And then you go to Top Gun. I mean, Danger Zone, Hello, I'm All Right. You know, from Caddyshack, Nobody Knew About Me. You know, he covers all the bases in his movies. And he still sounds good today. You know, even Loggins and Messina. Jim Messina, when those guys would perform together, they had good harmonies, you know, like how the other day we talked about Simon and Garfunkel and male artists that have good harmonies, you know, Def Leppard, even Kiss, kinda, you know, but more like folky music was Jim Messina and Kenny Loggins. So I thought they sounded really good together. Then Huey Lewis, you know, Hit to Be Square from the American Psycho soundtrack with Christian Bale. I mean, that's the most memorable part of that whole movie, I think. You know, because Christian Bale, American Psycho, if you guys don't know the movie, he's Norman, was it Norman Bates or something? And he's like a lawyer or a business guy or something, but then he sleeps with hookers and kills them, and he just gets real fucked up. And I mean, it's crazy, but in that movie, when that song comes on, he's got a guy over, and, you know, he's trying to, I think, like, butter him up or something, not sleep with him or anything. Well, he ends up, like, hacking him to pieces, and that song's going on, and I don't know, it's just one of the memorable parts, you know, kind of just sticks in your mind. I know it's kind of morbid, but it is Halloween, so, when in Rome. But another one he did was The Power of Love from the Back to the Future soundtrack. I mean, my God, folks, that was back in the mid to late 90s, and the song, you can still hear it on the radio today. It's a great song. The live version is even better. If you get a chance, look at it on YouTube. We're talking probably circa 1990, 92. They're playing at a beach. It's like a beach party. Remember when MTV used to have, like, the beach house? And they would have, like, they'd have, like, a boardwalk, and all these different artists would be out there playing. Sugar Ray was out there when they were real big, when, you know, when Fly came out. But, you know, they had another good run in the movies, too, you know, Huey Lewis. So there's a lot of, I mean, there's more other artists out there, but I thought those three were the big ones that kind of came to mind. And, you know, it just kind of got me thinking about movies that are based around music, you know, like the movie The Doors. If you guys ever seen, there's a movie called Rockstar with Mark Wahlberg. He plays a lead singer to a band. In the movie they're called Steel Dragon, but they're based on Steel Panther, the 80s metal band. And it's got Zakk Wylde in there playing guitar, no beard, fucking shreds. I don't care who you are. Yeah, that guy, he does it all. He can play real soft to, you know, put Tucky in the bed at night, and he can play real pissed off, slam on the wall to make you want to break shit and just have a hell of a good time. And he's, you know, a hell of a good guitar player. And it's crazy because there was a story that came out a couple years ago. After Jeff Hanaway, I'm sorry if I pronounced his name wrong, or Hannigan, he was the guitar player for Slayer. There was a story because, you know, he had a real bad drinking problem. You know, whether they died from that, I'm not too sure, to be honest. But Zakk Wylde, he always said, man, you know, I got these blood clots, but, you know, I never really had any problem with it. And went into the doctor, this true story, went to the doctor and said, you know, you say I got these blood clots, but I have never had any problem with it. And, you know, they ran tests on him, and the doctor asked him, you know, well, what are you eating every day? And he told him, you know, that chicken, whatever the fuck he eats and all that. And he's like, well, what are you drinking? And he said, well, you know, coffee, water, a few pops and beer and all that. And he's like, beer? You drink beer? And he's like, oh, yeah, he drinks a lot of, like, Heineken and all that. And he's like, well, that's what's probably saving you. It's thinning your blood out. So that's a crazy story. And, you know, he just lives up to the hype. You know, he played with Ozzy. Not saying that every rock star has to be a, you know, party hardy motherfucker, but, you know, when it's saving your life, I guess it's doing something good for you, so more power to you. You know, but even The Doors, Val Kilmer, he did a great job playing Jim Morrison. And, you know, kind of looked like him too, and he just had that physique of him. And, I mean, Jim Morrison, rest in peace, buddy. Guy had a hell of a short life, but, I mean, he was very poetic, as you can tell in their songs and even his solo stuff, like the American, not American Beauty, but American Poetry album, I think it's called. But anyway, good albums and great artists. And another one that my father-in-law always tells me about, that I still have yet to see yet. I really want to see it. Let me know if you guys have seen this movie out there. But AC/DC, Fly on the Wall. I guess it's a movie about AC/DC. They're playing inside a bar, all right? And it's a whole movie long, but the movie takes place in the eye of a fly, or 10 eyes, whatever they have. But it, as the fly is flying around, the building starts crumbling, and, you know, AC/DC still playing in the middle, which is badass, because I could see them doing that. But, you know, I thought it was pretty cool. I don't know if any of you guys have seen it, or if you ever heard of it, or anything like that, but I thought it'd be kind of, that'd be kind of cool to check it out sometime, see what, you know, what it was all about and everything. And AC/DC is a great band, so you know the music's going to be good, and just kind of seeing what the fly was thinking, or what the people in the bar that were, while this was going on, what the hell they were thinking, or did they even know that they had a rock and roll band in there? I mean, that's another thing too. When you don't know that you have that famous of a band playing in there, and you're just in there for the hell of it, you know, like how we talked the other day about Mick Jagger being at the bar in North Carolina. You know, people is just going minding their own business. You know, you just kind of, I know they're just people just like us and everything, but I don't know, it just, when you meet a rock star or you meet someone with a higher stature from Hollywood or TV or books or anything like that, you know, you get that little, I don't care who you are, you get a little giddy. You know, the most famous person I've met is Wayne Newton. True story. He was in the parade for, might have been Newark's 200th bicentennial. This was back, gosh, almost 20 years ago, I think. But he started up at the middle school that I went to, and my mom was like, "Well, she's like, go up there, see if you can get a picture with him." I'm like, "He ain't gonna have time for, you know, a low life like me, you know." I'd go up there with, back at the time, we didn't have no phones with cameras. We had the old portable cameras, like the disposable ones that you take the little film in, take it to, you know, your photo store, and then they develop it for you. Yeah, that's what we had. We didn't have nothing digital, nothing like that. So I took in a Kodak, just like a Snapmatic or something like that. Went down there and waited at the front of the line. So what had happened was there was a limousine in the middle, then there was like three cops in front of it, and then there was a convertible behind the limousine, and that's where Wayne Newton was. It had him, the driver, of course, and the security guard. And I was on the sidewalk, so I was about 10 feet away from Wayne Newton and his, you know, his hair and everything, and it's crazy just seeing him, like, out of all the places this guy could be in the world, he's here in Newark, Ohio. Probably, I know he has family and stuff that's from Newark, but I don't know, it's just kind of cool to think, like, out of all the places this guy could be, he's here in this town. That's awesome. So anyway, I got my camera. I'm yelling, "Wayne, Wayne, hey, Newton, can I get a picture with you?" True story. And he looks over at me, and he, you know, he kind of shrugs me off for a second. And I'm like, "Hey, Wayne, Wayne, can I get a picture with you? I'm a big fan. You know, I love your music, love your movies and everything." Seen him on Roseanne, seen him on, you know, a couple shows and all that. So I was familiar with some of his stuff, but the hair is what really gets you. That's the only thing that really people know him by. And, you know, his good smile and all that bullshit. But anyway, so I'm calling that Wayne, and, you know, I finally, he calls me over, and he's like, hey, what are you yelling at, buddy?" And I go, I was like, "Hey, I just was wanting to know if I can get a picture with you." And he looks at his bodyguard and is like, "Well, how much longer do we have till we take off?" And he says, 2 minutes. He's like, "All right, you got 2 minutes." So we had the driver turn around. He took the pictures of me and Wayne, and he took off. And that was the coolest moment ever. I mean, I never really, I didn't have him sign nothing or anything. Didn't think anything of it. But know, just for him to give the time out of his day to take a picture with the seventh grader like me, you know, and then later on that night, or it was that weekend, Styx played for the whole city. They blocked off downtown. It was fucking awesome. God, it was awesome. Nothing better than live shows. I don't care what kind you go to. It can be, you know, heavy, soft, anything. It don't matter. Live music is just awesome. There's just something about it. Just the feeling about it. Everyone's attitude about it. Just really good, you know. And hopefully, with everything going on, we can, maybe get back to, you know, going to shows and providing money for these bands that are struggling and everything, and buying their merch to help them get from show to show, or get gas money to get from show to show, and stuff like that we don't think about, but really does make an impact. Oh yeah, The Son of a Preacher Man. Hey, that's another good, great song too, Dusty Springfield. You know, another one that thinks, another movie that comes to mind is, you know, Pulp Fiction. Quentin Tarantino, he always had the greatest music in his movies, didn't he? Didn't matter what movie. You know, The Hateful Eight, Pulp Fiction, Reservoir Dogs, couldn't be Once Upon a Time in California, or Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, sorry. No, just all of his music. It just, yeah, it takes a while for him to come out with movies, but my God, when he does, really fucking badass. And you know they're going to be bloodier than hell. They're going to have great music. They're going to have great actors. It's going to be funny. It's just, it's a trip. I know he's only got a few more to make, Quentin Tarantino. He said he's making, what, 10 movies, and then he's done. And Hateful Eight was 8. Course, so Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, God, that's 9, so maybe he's got one more, folks. Hopefully he don't make it until, you know, he's like, I don't know, 78 or something before he dies. That way we have a little bit more time to enjoy his movies. But man, what a great guy, and he plays in his movies too, which I thought's pretty cool. Judd Apatow, he does that from time to time too. You know, so it's cool. It's cool when the directors get involved in their movies. M. Night Shyamalan, he does that too. And, you know, it's just really cool. He just takes more, I don't know, you appreciate it more. You know, because you're like, wow, he knows how to act too. So he's not just a guy that sits on a chair and barks at people and tells them they suck and all that. You know, he actually can act. So that's pretty cool. But no, if you guys, send me your list of your guys' favorite song, like, favorite movie soundtracks. It can just be just about the soundtrack, or you like the movie, Practical Magic. My wife loves the movie and the soundtrack. They're both great. What's another good one? Fast Times at Ridgemont High, great soundtrack, great movie. You know, Dazed and Confused, awesome movie, great soundtrack. You know, just, they go, these movies go together, you know, so well together, and the music and everything, and it's just awesome. And so on to our next, we're going to do our top 5, and no surprise here, it's going to be a top 5 music-based movies. So this can go from, you know, it can be musicals, it can be like Disney movies, it can be anything that has music involved in the movie, go for it. Again, no particular order. These are just my top 5. We'll talk about them. And here we go. So, number 1, Straight Outta Compton. Number 2, Airheads. Number 3, Detroit Rock City. Number 4, This is Spinal Tap. Number 5, School of Rock. Again, number 1, we got Straight Outta Compton. So, the story behind NWA, I'm not going to say what the name means. Google it on your own time. So, NWA, they broke out in the early to mid-80s, you know, with the gangster rap and everything, you know, very violent, but, you know, they lived through it. You know, if you guys have seen the movie, you know they lived through it, and they still talk about it, and it's just a great movie. It shows you how they started, how they all met, what was the problem that caused everything. Period, Harla. Oh, excuse me. But anyway, it talks about the main problem of the band. Jerry Heller. Easy. Oh, man. There's something bad in my throat. But anyway, it's just a great movie. The soundtrack's great, of course. NWA, legendary. In the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. I mean, the guys got their own star on the Hollywood Boulevard. Very good, successful careers for all of them. Rest in peace, Eazy-E. But, you know, I love watching the story. Always loved the band. Even the Tupac one they did is great. All Eyes on Me. That's a great one that shows you the struggles, you know, of him and his mom and sister, what they went through, and they rise to the top and everything, and the story about them. And, you know, Notorious is good, and then, you know, about Notorious B.I.G., Christopher Wallace, and, you know, it's just really cool to see. It's always cool to see that type of movie, you know. You see how they started, and, you know, their career and everything, like 8 Mile and all that. See, it goes on and on. There's just so many good movies about music out there and vice versa. So, first one, Straight Outta Compton, you know, legendary. Number two was Airheads. Now, this movie came out in the early to mid-90s. It has Brendan Fraser, Steve Buscemi, and Adam Sandler. They're a three-piece band. They're called the Lone Rangers. They got a great sound, Degenerated. If you guys get a chance, check out that song, Degenerated. It's a great band, three-piece band. They try to get their cassette played by music producer, representative guy, and he kind of blows them off, so he goes down to the radio station and pretty much takes it hostage. Not on purpose, all by accident, but the whole thing turns into this big block party, and he's got the whole town on his side. Even the people that work at the radio station are on their side, and they just want to see them, A, get the hell out of the radio station so they can go home, and B, they want to see them give it to their bosses because they find out some shit that they're changing from hard rock to soft rock. And, you know, he's like, Milo, we got all these easy listening CDs. What's up with this? He's like, oh, we're doing that starting Monday. Fuck you, you know, just... So they cranked the heavy metal, and it's just a great movie. They actually played, they didn't actually play the song, like record it or anything, but in the movie they play the instruments and everything, and it's just a real good story. It's funny as hell. It's got Chris Farley in there, so you know it's going to be funny as hell. And it's got Kramer in there. Who else? And that's about all the big ones that I could think of, but great movie. Check it out. Airheads. Third is Detroit Rock City. So it's this movie based on, the band Kiss. So they have a song called Detroit Rock City. And it's about four boys that love Kiss. You know, they look up to each one of them, and, you know, they just love them so much, and they finally get tickets to go see them. And the drummer's mom, like, finds out, and she flips shit because she's against Kiss. She's in a Kiss. It's an anti-Kiss group, it's called, because they think Kiss stands for Knights in Satan's Service. So she takes them away, burns the tickets to go see them because they're going to see Kiss at, it was the Ford Stadium, I think, in Detroit Rock City. And then, you know, as the movie goes on, they try to think of ways to scrounge up money to go see Kiss, because they're bound and determined, we're going to fucking see Kiss tomorrow night, and nothing's stopping us. And, you know, they all went in their separate directions and different views on how to get money. You know, one guy tried to steal it from an 8-year-old. The other one, you know, he went to, like, a mail review and went up there and shook his, what they say in the movie, shake your wee-wee. The guy's like, hey, they'll give you $100 to go up there and shake your wee-wee. You know, and so Eddie Furlong goes up there and shakes his wee-wee in front of, which is Gene Simmons' real-life wife in the movie. So that blonde-haired chick in the movie is actually Gene Simmons' wife, and another guy. So we got one guy that steals, the other guy, one guy like gets his car stolen and ends up fighting the dog. I mean, it just gets crazy as hell, but it's a great movie, good soundtrack. I mean, even if you don't like Kiss, it's not all about Kiss. Like, they're in it, but it's not all about them. It's just, it's got their music. It's just a really good, well-written movie. Funny as hell. Check it out. Detroit Rock City. Number four, we got This is Spinal Tap. This movie, if you are a musician or know of any famous musicians, you know how picky the motherfuckers can be, coming from like the dressing room writers, which writers are little pieces of paper that your manager fills out before your band arrives. So backstage, they know, okay, we can only have, you know, green M&Ms, can't have blue M&Ms. So Van Halen did this just to see. The reason why they did that, they wanted to see if the people that were promoting their shows and were having them play at their venues actually paid attention to anything. So I think they wanted all brown M&Ms or something, or they wanted them separated or something like that. But they did it just to see if these people were paying attention, and they were. But it kind of made it a joke in the music business, like, oh, you know, you can put anything on the writer, and, you know, they got to get it for you. If they don't get it for you, you can refuse to play. It's just it's a hairy situation to be in. But, you know, there are some rock artists that are like that. You know, they can only have chilled water. They can't have bottled. You know, it's got to be, they want a filet mignon. They don't want a skirt steak. You know, it's just the craziest shit like that. But even them performing, I mean, like, the whole Stonehenge thing is legendary. You know, crank it to 13, crank it to 11, you know, that shit's legendary. And just a real good movie. It's an older, old-school movie, so keep that in mind. But, I mean, it's just funny. It's well-written. I know I said that about every movie, but, it's true. They had their shit going on back in the day in Hollywood. Now they're on strike, I guess. The writers in Hollywood and theater, they're on strike right now. So, there's a lot going on with that. We'll see if we get any new movies or new theater scripts or anything like that. So, just a lot of craziness going on in the world. But we'll save that for a different time, and we'll go to the last one, which is School of Rock. So that's number five, School of Rock. You guys have never seen School of Rock. Got Jack Black in it, plays a, not washed up, but he plays a on again, off again rock musician. He got kicked out of the band he was playing in because he was too wild, and he played guitar for him, and, you know, he stage dived. They didn't like that. He was too wild, so he went and moved in with his buddy, which his buddy was a substitute teacher, and long story short, it's called one day, Jack Black goes in to the school, it's a private school, and he's the music teacher, and he starts educating these kids about the greatest rock bands ever out there. You know, ZZ Top, AC/DC, Led Zeppelin, and the list goes on and on. But in the movie, they talk about all them, and he kind of educates these kids and actually gets a good band together, and they start writing music, and they start realizing they have more in common and that they think. And see, that's the beauty of music, and, you know, you get to playing and you get these relationships with people that live for years and years that you never really would have thought of, and it's just a beautiful feeling, people coming together, having a good time, sharing good music. That's what it's all about, folks. We love and share and care on this show, but, you know, at a reasonable distance and all that, you know, unless you're really in love, then fuck it. But that was my top five. So again, no particular order. We had Straight Outta Compton, Airheads, Detroit Rock City, This is Spinal Tap, and School of Rock. My God, what a great, great movie. All of them are, but hit me up on my socials with your guys' favorite top five, and, you know, we'll compare and we'll talk about them. We'll have a good time, and you know, please give me some reviews, baby. You know, I'm desperate to see what you guys think, and I'm very excited. And I know once I get back to work, I might do 3 days a week on the podcast. I might do 5, just see how it goes with everything, because I don't want to, you know, take too much time away. But I love talking to you guys, and I love talking music, so if I could get paid for that, that would be awesome as hell. But until then, just gotta do what I can when I can, and talk to you guys when I can. And you know, that's a lot of cans right there, so we'll just leave it at that. And speaking of leaving at that, we'll end our show with a little did you know. I like to do this at every show, the end of the show, just a little did you know, little fact or a little stat to kind of get your brain moving, get your ears perked up, like, well, I had no idea about that. Which this one today comes from the University of Alaska. Did you know that the University of Alaska stretches across 4 time zones? So how does that work out if you're running late for class? If you're in zone 2 and you got to be in, you know, zone 4 in 30 minutes, but it's in a different time zone, do you wait? I mean, that's confusing as hell, but it's kind of cool. You can always use that as your fallback excuse. Like, oh, well, I was in time zone 1, so I didn't have enough time to get over here. Or it could come bite you in the ass. Like, well, you knew we were 3 hours behind you, so why were you showing up late? You know, it just kind of, it could go either way with that. I thought that was kind of crazy, you know. But Alaska, that's a beautiful state by itself anyway. I mean, shoot, cold, yeah, but they're used to it. That's nothing for them. I mean, you talk about some tough motherfuckers, the Alaskan truck drivers, the Alaskan people, the people that live in Alaska, you know, they go with, you know, just a month's supply of water and everything. It's scary, but they've been doing it for so long. They got it down to a T, you know, just like the people that are in, you know, hurricanes and all that, hurricane waves. And, excuse me, they're just so used to that. But, you know, it'd be scary if you had a Midwestern like me, or, you know, anyone like that go out there that's never been in a hurricane before. So I'd be freaking out. I freaked the fuck out on we took a whale watching tour, my wife and me, about 3 years ago. We stayed in Hyannis, Massachusetts, which if you guys get a chance to go to Massachusetts, do it. Beautiful state. It's clean as hell. Great, great lobster. I mean, that's what they're known for. They're also known, the state candy is called bog frogs, which are, they're like cranberries, but they're drenched in chocolate, and they got nuts, and they're really good. I mean, it's a little different, but I mean, it's good. It's got sweet, savory, and everything. But we were in Hyannis, Massachusetts, which right there on the tip of Cape Cod, I mean, Provincetown, that's where we did the whale watching tour. And long story short, went out there, and the water was choppy as hell, folks. I mean, started off good, but, you know, the guy that was taking us out there was Captain John's boat rides or something. But anyway, whale watching tour. Anyway, he even said, he's like, yeah, the water was really choppy. We shouldn't have came out today. And I mean, folks, it was so, the waves were so big. I mean, when you were in this boat, it was over 100 feet long. And the whales that we were looking at, they were called finback, F-I-N-back whales. And they're the second largest whales in the world. And they measured at almost, between 90 and 95 feet long. So it was almost the size of the boat. But on this boat, I mean, can you imagine, and you could feel every little bump that this guy was hitting. You could tell when he took his foot off the gas. You could tell when he put his foot on the gas, like way down. You could just feel it. And I mean, I even took motion sickness pills before it. Didn't help. About halfway into it, we're about 20 miles out. And it's just getting bad, worse and worse. I'm puking. There's a couple that's in front of me. They're puking. We're both, all three of us are puking in our separate, you know, trash cans and everything. My wife gets great pictures of this whale. She sees everything, so I'm so happy she got to see that. That's the one thing I was worried about. I wanted to make sure that Brentley got to see the whales and everything, the ocean. Yeah, I would want to see them too, but, you know, I saw them on the pictures and everything, but that water just kicked my ass. That water's just brutal, so, I mean, it kicks your ass. You know, you don't mess with Mother Nature out there, and even in Alaska, you know, their water's beautiful and, you know, good fish and everything, but, yeah, 4 time zones, that's crazy. University of Alaska, who would have thunk? Well, I guess we'll wrap it up there then today, folks. Thanks again for listening to the Rock and Roar podcast. I hope you guys enjoyed it, learned a little something new, had some fun, got your mind off something for a while, or got through an hour of work or something, or, you know, toilet time, I don't care. However you listen to it, wherever you listen to it, I'm just thankful that you're listening to it. So tell all your friends. Again, thank you, Brian Roar, signing off. Thank you, veterans. Thank you, everyone, first responders, everyone out there. And thank you for listening. You guys have a beautiful day, and we'll talk to you tomorrow.